Well, thank you for your welcome and your invitation. I was saying to Jill, I phoned Jill during the week, unaware that she hadn't been well, but you were out swanning it up at some church meeting, I think, at the time. But I said to Jill, I said, actually going to be speaking on disappointment. I said, I don't know what you want to do with that, because it sort of may not be something, you know, subject that fills you with great encouragement initially. But when Phil spoke to me, what, 2 or 3 months ago now, a couple of months at least, and asked me to speak, it was a couple of days after that. I was in the garden, and I very clearly, you know, felt a prompting of the Spirit to, speak on disappointment. And I thought, well, you know, that's an interesting one. You have to check these things to start with and see if it's maybe just a word for myself or something like that. But I ran with that. And it was quite interesting because we went on holiday recently, just came back last week. And I read a book whilst I was on holiday, which really spoke to me regarding this. It was quite a profound opening up of, some things. So, I think if God hadn't prompted me prior to that, then, I would have maybe missed the point from the book. So that was quite good. So that was just a bit of a background of why, why the subject tonight is disappointment. So let's just pray and offer our time for God to speak to us. Heavenly Father, we want to again give you thanks and praise that we can come and share this time together. And Father, I pray that you would help me to bring your word tonight, and that your word is powerful and true. And Father, I pray that your word would be at work tonight, not my word. But through the power of your Holy Spirit, Father, I pray that you will speak to each one of us, that we will have open ears, open hearts to receive your word. And Lord, I pray that for each one of us, this may say something different. But whatever, Father, I pray that you would be at work tonight. Amen. So, disappointment is something that probably we have all experienced at some stage. I don't think anybody would say that they'd never experienced any form of disappointment. It's one of the emotions we have. We call it a feeling. We say, well, I feel so disappointed at so-and-so. I feel so disappointed that this or that did or didn't happen. But, how does it come about? Well, I sort of thought quite a bit about that. And it's really when someone or something does not match up to an expectation that we've set. And probably true to say that the higher the level of expectation we have, the greater the potential for being disappointed. An expectation, I think you'd agree, is generally, it's a performance-based judgment that we have. We set a level of expectation based upon information that we are either given or that we have to hand. And then, depending upon the performance, we're either happy or disappointed, balancing that against the expectation that we've set. So we set an expectation at a certain level. The performance then takes place by a person or by a thing. And then we balance that. Well, did that match the expectation we had? Did it become below? We're disappointed. If it's above, then of course we're happy about that. And as I say, very often the more information we have about something can affect the level of expectation. So you could say that the more information you have, the greater, possibly, is the level of expectation. I'd like to just read you something that I came across the other day. And I have to say right from the start, I'm in no way knocking what I'm about to say. Okay, I'm just going to read something. I'm not knocking. It's about a Christian brother. So it's very important that I state that right from the start. will omit his name, obviously, but I just want to show it as a point, okay? But please, it's not a judgment upon this, okay? But imagine that pastor was advertising something, okay? And this, he stood up and this is what he said. Continuing our series, we are delighted to host another meeting with our brother. Our brother is born, he's a born-again Israeli Jew, born in Brazil. He has been trained for ministry, but much more than that, he carries the heart of the Lord in his life and brings an illuminating word straight from the heart of God. He has a God-given ability to connect a prophetic word from Scripture and align it with what God is doing in the world today. He is a worldwide ministry, is a Hebrew teacher, has an amazing testimony and a powerful anointing. We look forward to receiving what the Lord has put on his heart to share with us. Now, if Pastor read that Sunday, I'm pretty sure that you would all be fairly excited about that. You know, that's an, you know, your expectation of that meeting has risen, hasn't it? And rightly so. I mean, you know, please, I'm saying, I'm not knocking this. I'm just setting this out. This is something that came through the door advertising a meeting. And I thought, and I got that out as I was preparing this, and I thought that is, you know, so that would really raise my expectation regarding that meeting. The problem is that that also sets me up for great disappointment if I approach this in the wrong way, because what if this brother didn't match the expectation that I've set on the information that I'm being given? And there's a big danger in that. It's, you know, I've really set myself up to be bitterly disappointed. Not because he lets me down, but because the expectation level that I've set, in my opinion, may not be met. And one step on from that is that if people do disappoint us, then we have to deal with those relationships. Now, in the past, Maura and I have been disappointed. We've been disappointed by people who've been very close to us and been disappointed by people who have not been so close to us. And I would have to be honest with you, and I would have to say that really the only relationships that have recovered from that disappointment have been the ones that have been the closest to us. And the reason for that is that those close relationships have been rooted in love. And as we know from 1 Corinthians, true love keeps no record of wrong. And so because those relationships have been rooted in love, we've managed to recover. The relationship has managed to recover. But, sadly, there have been relationships which haven't recovered from that disappointment. And the reason for that is that after a disappointment, our expectation of that person is affected. It can't help but not to be. So now we're in a situation where instead of having more information and it raising our expectation, we now have more information and it's lowered our expectation. And so we sort of find ourselves in this sort of roller coaster of dealing with information. We get information, we're processing it, we're setting different levels of expectation, and we're saying to ourselves, they disappointed me last time, will I be disappointed again? And this can be a terrible effect on relationships. And I have to say that this is why it is so important that we have a strong relationship with God. Our trust has to be in him. He has to be our source. He has to be the most important relationship that we have. We must be rooted in the Word of God. Because, of course, it's within the Word of God that we find the instruction that love carries no record of wrong, that we don't judge. And, of course, we have to acknowledge that we too have probably not achieved the level of expectation that someone had in us, and we have disappointed others. And you may have noticed that, I mean, I'm normally read quite a lot of scripture, and I often make no apology whatsoever for reading a lot of scripture. But up until now, I've really only used a couple of references. So let's look at what the Bible says about disappointment. Nothing at all. The New Testament only makes one reference to the word disappointment. And I was absolutely astounded at that. And that's in Romans. And when you read that, in my opinion, it's not even a good translation of the Greek word anyway. But I thought to myself, if anybody had the right to be disappointed, surely that would be God in us. Surely God has the greatest expectation of us. So why is it that he is not disappointed in us? Well, I said earlier that disappointment is based when you set a level of expectation, and then the performance doesn't match that level of expectation. Well, of course, God knows all. He knows the beginning from the end. God does not run on an expectation of us because he already knows what we are going to do. He knows the beginning. He knows the end. He knows every thought we have. He knows every thought that we are going to have. He knows every action that we do. He knows every action we will do. So, of course, he is never disappointed with us because his expectation is based on knowledge. So the expectation level is not set based on, well, I'm not sure what's going to happen. He knows. He has full knowledge. It's really important that I say now, that does not mean we don't have free choice. Just because God knows what we're going to do does not mean that we don't have free will and free choice. And just because God knows every action and every thought does not excuse sin in our lives. And it does not mean that we will not have to face the consequences of sin in our lives. What it does mean is that God is not disappointed with us. Not every action is in his will. Not every action is in his best for us. And not every action and thought brings great pleasure to him. But his heart towards us is always of love. Ephesians 1, verse 4. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world. He chose us. Ephesians 1, verse 11. In him we were chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will. And Ephesians 2, verse 10. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. This is not a God who's disappointed in us, no matter what we've done, no matter how disappointed we may have felt for in ourselves. He's never disappointed with us. God never sits in heaven and looks down upon us and says, I just can't believe what Steve has just done. I've all these plans for him, and I can't, I'm just so bitterly disappointed that he made that choice instead of that choice. All my plans for him are now ruined. It's all just been a waste of time. He never, ever thinks that. Now, I'm not saying that everything I've done is according to his will. Of course not. But he knows his plans for us have taken into account the things that we have done wrong. And it's so easy for us to write ourselves off. Oh, I've been so disappointed with my life, and I've never achieved what God has wanted me to achieve. That's not the case at all. We must always believe that we are in the purposes of God. Now, please, we have to say here, you do have to find the perfect will of God. You do have to do that through prayer and through, you know, relationship with God. You have to seek his will for your life. But the point I'm making is that he always has the plan prepared. He knows every single turn that we're going to make. And so we must never write ourselves off by being disappointed. If we have failed, we have repentance. We repent and we turn. If we are disappointed with ourselves for any reason, then we pray about that, and if necessary, we repent and turn and get back on track. God never, ever writes us off. When we return to him in repentance, he does not share that sort of human mindset that we've, you know, I'm speaking for about myself, that I think to myself, okay, I appreciate they've said sorry, but they might do it again. They might disappoint me again, so I'm going to be really cautious. God approaches us, his face is turned towards us in love. When we turn towards him in repentance and in prayer, we have to know that he is for us. And one of my favourite scriptures is from Jeremiah 29, verse 11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. God's speaking that he knows the plans he has for us. Plans to give us a future. So let us be careful when we find ourselves judging others. Please, I'm not saying that we are not wise. We have to be wise about what we do. If you have information about somebody, use that carefully. Use that prayerfully. I think you'd all agree it would be unwise if you were to invite a brand new convert fresh out of prison for theft to be your church treasurer. That would be unwise. But that's not to say in a few years' time that man wouldn't be perfect to be a church treasurer. We have to use information wisely. And that's the same. Let us be careful how we process the information in our own minds. Let's be careful that we're not setting huge expectations of people. Let's go into situations with wisdom, in a godly way, prayerfully. And let's remember that God is never disappointed with us. He loves us. That we've been chosen, predestined by him. We're his workmanship. And that he always has a plan and a purpose for our lives. And that he has a plan and purpose for everybody else's life as well. That's an important thing to remember. If we find ourselves judging, if we find ourselves being disappointed with somebody else, let's remember that God has a plan and purpose for their life as well. And let's face it, there are many, many people in Scripture that could so easily have been written off. Think Moses, murderer. Not the first call to be a leader. Would have been so easily, oh, so disappointed in Moses. Now that he's done that, he's never come to anything. With David, when he committed adultery. Oh, so disappointed in David. Never achieve anything now. With Peter, you know, Jesus could so easily, oh, Peter, I'm so disappointed in you and in your behaviour and the fact that you didn't stand up for me. But no, because God knew the plans that he had for him. Plans to give him a hope and a future, exactly the same as he does for us. Not the same plans, obviously, but plans to give us a hope and a future in whatever way he chooses for us. So let us live to obey his word. Let us live to have that deep relationship with God, rooted in him. And let us live in his will so that we can fully live the plans and purposes that he has for us. Amen. Thank you.